this woman touched him with her faith. Can you touch God with your faith today and believe that no matter what kind of problem you have, that God is great enough to get you out of the mess and bring restoration into your life? I do what I do because I've seen God's power transform my own life, and He will do it for you. The key to everything is found in God's Word. I'm Joyce Meyer, and I believe that God can heal you everywhere you hurt. Well, thank you for joining us today on Enjoying Everyday Life. You know, the more you learn about the Word of God, the more you will be able to enjoy every single day of your life, even on those ones that are difficult and hard to endure. I've been talking about fear and overcoming fear with faith and learning how to do it afraid. So just in case you haven't been watching, what do I mean when I say do it afraid? Well, the word fear actually means to take flight or to run away from. And there's many places in the Bible where it says, "Fear not, for I am with you." Now, God wasn't telling the people that He was talking to not to feel fear. We're always going to feel fear at different times in our life for different reasons on different occasions. But keeping in mind that we don't have to bow down to every feeling that we have, we can do it afraid even if we feel afraid. Don't let fear control you and keep you from doing the things that you believe that God wants you to do or the things that are really in your heart that you want to do. Now, you know, I don't believe in being foolish. I'm not saying if you're afraid of water, if you can't swim and you're afraid of deep water, I'm not suggesting that you should go jump off the deep end of a swimming pool just to do it afraid. What I'm talking about are things that actually make sense, things that you really know that God is asking you to do and things that you need to do. I don't want anybody to hurt themselves because Joyce said do it afraid. But there's so many things that people miss out on because, like, how many people get invited to a party and they won't go because they're afraid they won't know anybody there, or they're afraid that they'll be rejected, or there's going to be somebody there that they've had an issue with in the past and they're afraid to face them again. You probably have so many opportunities to be in fear that you can't even imagine how many you have. But every time fear comes knocking on your door, you need to answer with faith. But to live without fear, we need to learn to also live without doubt. Now, I'm not saying that God gets mad at us every time we doubt. Thomas doubted and he said, "I won't believe that it's you unless I can put my hands in your wounds." And so Jesus let him do it. He showed them to him. But then Jesus also said, "Blessed are those who believe and have not seen." And I think that's the place we want to get to. I mean, if you have a real doubt, you can talk openly to God about that. But then also stay in prayer that you'll get to the point where you're not tormented with those doubts. We need to learn how to doubt our doubts, because every time doubt comes, it means that the enemy is trying to steal something from us. And I like to say that doubt is like baby fear. It's not full-grown tormenting fear yet, but it's the beginning of it. And so if we can catch it in the beginning, then we have a greater chance of overcoming it. Abraham had faith for the impossible. God told him that He would give him His own child, but he and Sarah were both beyond childbearing years. And during the time that he waited, yes, I said waited, during the time he waited for God to bring that promise to pass in his life, let's read what the Bible says about him. Romans 4, 18 through 21. In hope, Abraham believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations. Some translations read, all reason for hope being gone, he hoped on in faith. In other words, he had no natural reason to hope. There was nothing for him to look at that said, well, that's hopeful. I mean, he could look at Sarah's almost dead, barren body and think, well, I don't have any hope in that. He could look at himself, who was 100 years old, and think, well, I don't have any hope in this. You know, we don't need to try to find our hope in things here on the earth. We need to find our hope in God. And I really think it's time for us to really go back to believing that all things are possible with God. And sometimes I don't think it's so much that we doubt that God can do it, but we doubt that He will do it for us. We have doubts about ourselves, and we're going to talk about that today. So all reason for hope being gone, he hoped on in faith that he would become the father of many nations just as it had been promised to him. Now listen to this. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. So he didn't hide from his circumstances. He looked at his circumstances, but he said, God is greater. And I think that's what God wants you to do. Don't be afraid of your circumstances. Look at them. Stare them in the face and say, I see this, I see this, I see this, and I see this. But none of you are greater than my God. With God, all things are possible. No unbelief, some translations say no doubt or unbelief, made him waver concerning the promise of God. But I get this. But he grew strong in faith as he gave praise and glory to God. He grew strong. His faith got stronger as he continued to praise God and thank him ahead of time for what he was going to do. You know, when you've asked God to do something that seems like it's impossible in your life, one of the things to do every time doubt comes to you is just open your mouth and say, I believe that God is working in my life and my victory will come at just the right time. The Bible says this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith brings a victory into your life. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now let's think about that. What is it? It's the substance of things that you hope for, but don't see yet. The evidence of things that you do not see. Let's think of an example, okay? My husband and I own a house here in our city. Well, you might say, well, how do I know you own a house? I can't see your house. I can't bring my house here to the studio and say, see, here's my house. But I could bring the title to my home and I could show you the title deed and then you would say, yes, I believe that you have a house. Well, the Bible says that faith is the title deed to the things that we hope for that we have not seen yet. But fear is actually believing for the negative. Fear is the evidence of things we don't hope for and the substance of things we don't want to see happen. And I believe that faith has creative power, but I think that fear has creative power too. And I'm not going to say that every time you fear something, you cause it to happen. But I think if you stay in fear long enough about something, that it can actually affect your circumstances. Was it Job that said, the thing I greatly feared came upon me? We can do warfare with our words when faith comes. Abraham said, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong as he gave praise and glory to God. Fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. And I think that's where we need to draw the line today. Are you fully convinced that God loves you, that he will always do the very best for you? Do you believe that all things are possible with God? See, I've learned to trust God to the point where if I ask him for something and I don't get it, then I know that my prayer wasn't right. It's not that God's not right. What I asked for was not the best that God wanted to give me. And so he's not giving me what I asked for because it's not going to be the best for me. You know, a lot of times we ask for things that we think would be just right, but really it might be something that you're not ready to handle yet, or God's got something better in mind for you and you just don't even know how to ask for it yet. I think God has got so many great things for us, and we just don't have the nerve, we don't have the faith to ask God to do them. Why? Because we doubt ourselves. We doubt that God would do that for us. But you have to remember that you're no surprise to God. He knew everything about you before you were ever born. Every day of your life was written in His book before He ever formed you in your mother's womb. He knew every mistake you would make. He knows every mistake you ever will make. And as long as you believe in Him, as long as you walk in faith and you trust that Jesus died for your sins, you admit your sins, you repent of them, and you want to live a godly life, your sins are forgiven and removed as far as the east is from the west. God's not mad at you, and He wants to help you. In the book of James, it says that if we don't know what to do, we can go to God who gives all wisdom, and He will help us without reproach or fault finding. That means that I could have done some foolish things and gotten myself in trouble, but I realize what I've done, and I go to God and say, I know that I opened the door for trouble by doing this, this, and this, and God, I'm so sorry. I ask You to forgive me, and I need You to help me. Show me what I can do to get out of this mess, or if there's nothing I can do, then just do it for me. And He won't say, well, you know, you did this or that. Says He gives without reproach or fault finding. You know, people in the world may find plenty of fault with you, but God doesn't remind you of your mistakes. He's merciful to us. Abraham believed hope against hope. He didn't weaken in faith, but he grew strong as he gave praise and glory to God. Now, I want to share a story with you in Mark 5 where Jesus actually ignored the voice of doubt and unbelief. And you know, I think we're going to have to learn how to recognize when God's speaking to us and when the enemy's speaking to us. And if it's the enemy, we're just going to have to say, well, I know you're a liar, so I'm going to ignore you and not pay any attention. Mark 5:22, and I want you to try to insert yourself in this story. Sometimes we just read these things, but we don't really think about it. As I go through this, I want you to pretend like you're here and you're seeing all this. One of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, seeing Jesus, fell at His feet and implored Him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and alive." Imagine the intensity of this man's prayer. My little daughter is almost dead, but I believe You. Will You come and lay Your hands on her so she might get well? Well, Jesus was full of compassion, and so it says He went with him. But there was a great crowd that was following them, because there were crowds that followed Jesus everywhere that He went. And in that crowd, there was a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. And she'd been to every doctor. Nobody made her any better. And it had cost her all the money that she had. But she had heard about Jesus. And the Amplified Bible says she kept saying to herself, "If I can only touch the hem of His garment, I know I shall be healed." I love that. You know, if you're going to talk to yourself, you might as well talk about something positive. I believe if I can just get to Jesus and touch Him, that I shall be healed. And so He's on His way to heal this man's daughter who's almost dead. And now He stops to help somebody else. Think about how that would make you feel. Think about if you were Jairus, what kind of doubt and fear would have attacked your mind at that time. When she touched Jesus, immediately the flow of blood dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus felt the power go out of Him. This power of God is a real thing. It's a tangible thing. You know when the power of God is working in your life. And Jesus turned to the crowd and said, "Who touched me?" Well, the disciples thought that was a foolish question. There's such a big crowd here. What do you mean? Who touched you? There's all kinds of people touching you. But you know, this woman touched Him with her faith. Can you touch God with your faith today and believe that no matter what kind of problem you have, that God is great enough to get you out of the mess and bring restoration into your life. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came with fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole entire truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Your faith. Faith does things. Faith brings deliverance. Faith brings change. Faith brings healing. Faith brings that job that you need when there's no jobs to be had. While he was still speaking, someone came from Jairus' house and said, "Your daughter is dead. You don't need to trouble the master any longer." Oh my gosh. How did he feel? Jesus, why did you have to stop for her right now? I told you what a desperate situation I was in. I'm not saying that's what he said, but he might have felt like saying that. But now listen to this. In verse 36, Mark 5:36. "But overhearing," the Amplified Bible says, "but ignoring what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, 'Do not fear, only believe.'" Wow, he's asking, I mean, that's a lot. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. What does it say? I think it's Hebrews 12 that says, "Looking away from all that will distract unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith." God didn't just start faith in you for something to leave you destitute and without an answer. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. But sometimes you need to keep believing when everything looks like nothing is going to work and you're never going to get what you ask God for. I just sense in my heart today that there are people who have given up your dream. There's people that the enemy has talked into, "Just forget it, it's never going to happen. Just forget it. You're just full of bright ideas. None of this is anything God spoke to you." Listen, turn your head off for a few minutes and go back and see what's in your heart. If you did miss it and you made a mistake, then admit it and say so. But if you say, "No, I believe that that's what God wants to do. I believe this is something that God spoke to me," then you need to stir your faith up today. Fan that flame that once burned on the inside of you and go back to saying, "I believe God, and I don't care how long it takes, I'm not going to give up on God, because I've got His word on this and He is faithful." So he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John. Now, why was that? You know what? Jesus was going to go in and raise this girl from the dead, and he didn't want a bunch of doubt and unbelief around him. He wanted faith around him. And you know what? When you're in a desperate situation and everything looks like nothing's going to work, you don't need a bunch of people around you that are negative and always telling you what's not going to work. You need to surround yourself with positive people, people of faith, people that would encourage you and believe God with you. I know certain people, when I need somebody to pray, I know who to call, because they're not going to just say, "Oh, sure, I'll pray for you." I mean, they're going to pray. They're going to really pray, and I have confidence that God hears them. They came to the ruler's house, and there was a great commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he entered into them, he said, "Why are you making such a commotion? The child is not dead, but she's just sleeping." And they laughed at him, but look what he did. But he put them all outside. Once again, he got rid of the doubt and unbelief. He put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him, Peter, James, and John, went to where the child was, and of course, he raised her up. And she got up, made totally whole. You know what? Some of you could change your life if you would just simply get away from some of the negative, doubtful people that you hang around with all the time. You know, I can't stand negativity, and that's interesting because at one time in my life, I was a very negative person. I always say, if I thought two positive thoughts in a row, my brain got in a cramp. Now, I mean, I had grown up around a negative father. He didn't trust anybody. He didn't like anybody. Everything had an ulterior motive. And I grew up being taught how to be negative and almost being made to feel foolish if I was ever positive. So it took a while for God to get me turned around. Dave and I had been married a short period of time, and he said to me, "Why are you always so negative?" And you know what I said to him? I said, "Well, if you don't expect anything good to happen, then you won't be disappointed when it doesn't." I'd had so many disappointments in my life, I thought I was protecting myself by believing for bad thoughts, for bad things. I actually had what the Bible calls in Proverbs 15:15, evil forebodings. There was always this feeling around me, kind of in my atmosphere, like I was waiting for the hammer to drop, so to speak. You need to be careful about letting yourself get into that situation. And so if you're having problems right now, don't let your friends be people that always just want to do nothing but talk about your problem and then on top of that talk negative about your problem. Surround yourself with people that will bring some joy, people that will make you laugh, people that will encourage you and tell you that God can do anything. The word doubt, if we define it, means to be without a way, to be without resources, to be embarrassed, to be in doubt, perplexed, at a loss. Doubt can also mean to stand in two ways, implying uncertainty about which way to take. It's said of believers with little faith, to be in midair. Think of the phrase, everything is all just up in the air. Well, you know what? God wants us to know that He's good and that He wants to help us. Like I said in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, He says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith without doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave at the sea, tossed and driven by the wind. For that person should not even suppose that they will receive anything they ask for from the Lord." So I want to say to you right now, make your mind up what you believe and stick with it. I want to say it again. Make your mind up what you believe and stick with it. And don't think for one minute that you won't be tested, because you will. You may have to wait. It may look like nothing's going to work. But that's when you fight the good fight of faith and you keep saying, "I will not fear, because God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And I know God loves me and He's got a good plan for my life." Now, as I said earlier, I think a lot of times we doubt ourselves more than we doubt God. So let's talk about that just before our time is up today. Do you judge every move that you make? Are your thoughts, "I shouldn't have done that, I shouldn't have said that, I shouldn't have bought that, I shouldn't have gone there, I shouldn't have eaten that, I didn't pray long enough, I didn't read the right chapter in the Bible, I didn't confess the word enough today, I read the Bible but I didn't understand it anyway, oh, I forgot to hug my kids this morning, I talk too much, I should be quieter, I should be a better mother, I should be a better father, I'm not, I'm not, I'm not." The devil always wants to tell you what you're not. But see, whatever you're not, Jesus will make up for it and make you more than enough if you put your faith in Him. And don't always go around saying, "I shouldn't have done that." I mean, how many times in my life did I get up early in the morning to spend time with God, and I would pray and study the Bible, and I mean, every time I would get done, the devil would make me feel like I prayed wrong, I didn't pray in the right posture, I didn't pray in the right position, I didn't pray long enough, God didn't hear me, and I had to learn to stop believing those lies and stop doubting myself. And you know what? That may be one of the most important things that you'll hear for a long time. Stop doubting yourself. You know what? God believes in you, but it's not going to do you any good if you don't believe in you too. And I'm not saying to have a haughty, prideful attitude that, "Well, you know, bless God, I'm all this and all that." But what I am saying is get up every day intending to do your very best for God, knowing ahead of time that you're not going to hit the mark 100% perfect, but believing that God is more than enough to cover your sins and take care of them. God doesn't want you to live in the torment of self-doubt. Believe you can hear from God. Believe God loves you. Believe He's got a good plan for your life. Believe that there's no mistake that you can make that is too great for God to turn it around and make it a miracle in your life.